SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
What is up, Ringo? And welcome in to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Chris Welsh. That is the Bogman.
And Chris Welsh.
Holy can't wait.
What does that do?
Everything in baseball happened.
That just happened.
Like, literally everything went down. Tommy John's top prospect, complex league, or former, like, all-stars. It's insane. So we're going to be talking about all of that in whatever manner we can. And joining us as well to talk about the intertwining of betting and fantasy. So if you're not a betting guy, this isn't going to completely throw you off here. John Legaza, formerly MLB Moving Averages. Our boy Johnny is a great bettor, but also there's just so many interesting, like, combos and intertwining of learning about betting that actually can make you a better fantasy player. And then I think the obvious is people that play fantasy, you can kind of move into, like, top markets a little bit more. So at the end of the day, we're going to talk about maybe ways you can focus on some betting, some cool betting stuff, trends. John's got a great, he's got kind of some great tools that actually might make you a better streaming pitcher person. And just a bunch of other stuff. We've got it all. John Legaza, Ogden, Welsh, betting,
so
belly,
much,
all the stuff. Holy God. I didn't even know what to do with myself, Boggs, yesterday, because it was like, bam,
car run
bam,
good.
Bam.
I don't know what to do with my hands. Yeah.
It was crazy yesterday. It started, we'll talk about Ellie here in a second, but it started on the live stream of me freaking out on Fantasy Pros about why the Reds weren't bringing up Ellie. And then they literally did it as I was talking.
They're like, well, Welsh says, you know.
Welsh is on a lot of podcasts, so if he's saying it, everyone's going to hear about it.
The people want it. Welsh is now the people.
Now the voice of the people.
People want
the
Ellie.
People's
yeah, that's right.
I could be like The Rock. I can kind of do the eyebrow, right?
Can you?
Yeah, I mean, you can really. Do it a little look bit. At me.
You do it on the other side?
It's bad podcasting. So No. I can't blink with my right. Could you blink with both eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, you can. You're ambidextrous.
I can also move my ears.
I can do this. Look.
Yeah. I can
my
do
whole
that
hair too. Can move up. So I can only blink with my left eye. If I go to my right, everything shuts down. And then I can.
These are the questions everybody was asking.
Oh, and interestingly enough, my eyebrow, I can only raise it on the right eye. So I blink my left eyebrow up on
can't
right.
Can't do both eyebrows?
You can do all of it. Some you have a weird face that you can control all the face.
You have a weird
I didn't
face.
Know that.
Yeah.
Do it again. Do all the stuff real quick. Do it, clown. Mm. It's so weird that you can do all of that. I can't do any of that. That's amazing. But we had Ellie. We had DeGrom with the Tommy John. And then we had Alec Manoa. And I'm on Fantasy Pros like, oh, Jacob DeGrom will be fine. Alec Manoa is not going to Complex League. And somebody didn't say that. I swear to God, I did. I swear to God,
you
I
didn't
did.
Say he's not going to Complex League. You said
I
that.
Didn't say, well, no, said I, no I didn't say that. I said he wouldn't get optioned. I was like, he's not going to get optioned. And someone was listening to the podcast on Fantasy Pros after all of that had happened and heard me saying it. And they're like, this is hilarious. And I'm like, yeah, it's super funny.
Call me now. I'll tell you what not to expect.
It pretty much
you
was.
Miss Cleo.
It was wild across the board. So we are going to talk about the two big guys with John. So we don't need to go crazy. I do want to talk on Ellie here for a second. Let's get the DeGrom stuff out of the way because we're going to have this extended. We did this whole thing. I didn't even want to do it as much as we did on Fantasy Pros about DeGrom. We kind of do it here again. Tommy John surgery. All the people that faded are right. This is definitely not what I expected. I expected him to be hurt. I am completely wrong about it overall because I kept being dismissive of like, yeah, he's hurt, but this is what we expected. He was going to miss innings. It's just Tommy John surgery was not what it was. But you know what? We now have this like story that we can look at the path of how we got there. And it's like, you have that many lingering injuries. Yeah, that is the case. But this started with the one injury in spring, which he kind of worked through, and then the slow pace of it.
But now it's like, okay, IL stent. You know, now we can see that it was leading to this, but this was never the path of it. And you give me 110, 120 DeGrom innings, it's better than 200 of other people. That was always my argument. But regardless of all the debate of like, you know, dancing on graves and stuff, we're wrong. Anyone that kind of like was into DeGrom is wrong. And it leads into a conversation we're going to have with John about like, should there be more focus? And I know it's silly because it's like, oh, the one thing that leads to it, but should we have more focus on the injury prone players? Even though I know plenty of people do. And at the same time, past injury isn't necessarily a one for one for future injury, though it does give us a blueprint.
It's just, it's impossible. Like you can say you knew he was going to go down eventually, but people were saying that last year before too. We talked about this, about Tanaka, you know, for 3 years, Tanaka's arm was going to fall off. Chris Sale's arm was going to fall off because of the way he delivered the ball for a decade before it actually did. Right. So it's just impossible to predict injuries and stuff. This guy was hurt, but I mean, look, if you think it's bad that fantasy people, you know, invested in him, how about the Rangers giving him $153 million, right? Like, there's a team still willing to invest so much money in a guy like that, knowing that this is within the realm of possibility and probably even likely to happen eventually. And they still drop the bag.
There's some L's they're taking, too, because look at Kumar Rocker. There's another one who had the arm injuries. They took the chance. They took the chance on people like, oh, look at Kumar Rocker, too. I'd point out to people, Kumar Rocker was the reason they got Brock Porter, who looks like one of the best pitchers. They got this huge deal on Brock Porter because Boris used them against each other. But at the same time, they took two massive swings and struck out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Big time.
Yeah, but they struck out, but both those guys ain't dead. You know, it's not like their career is over because this happened. It sucks.
Well, it's just DeGrom's not going to be. He's going to be like 36 when he's.
It's going to take a long time. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be 34. I think he's 32 now, right?
He's 35.
Is he 34 right now?
No, he's 35 right now. He's going to be like 36.
How old is he?
So, either way, he's younger than us, and people are treating him like he's have an AARP card, which is a little depressing.
But. I mean, for his baseball career, sure, he's going to be advanced age, but I mean, what is a old DeGrom? It's like watching old Max Scherzer. He's still a top 10 pitcher.
Oh, dude, I said on Fantasy Pros, I said 36 is the new 32 in baseball.
Right.
So, like, he still could have 3 years ahead of him, but he's not going to be back until the back end of next year, which, you know what I kind of thought about? What if he does actually come back at the back end of the year? Maybe he just goes in the bullpen. Pitch him one inning for the year. Let him be a closer if they make the playoff run. And he's not relevant, though, until it doesn't matter, though. He's not relevant until 2025. So that's like over.
Sure.
He got dropped in our keeper Otno league for the money. And that is on the table probably for a lot of people. Redraft. Bye bye. Dynasty. It's rock bottom. It's rock bottom. And there's just a lot of people that get to say, I told you so. And it's a special, unique situation. And it stinks. It definitely stinks. But hopefully, and the key, and you said this to me off air, and I think it's a big key. Whatever side of the debate you are on, DeGrom was always crap, or where he was going was wrong, or I will take the risk, whatever side it is, the key that you said off air I thought was super important is if you were taking DeGrom, you had to have the strategy in place. There are some things, and that was kind of like what wasn't the best. Sometimes it's not fun to take players that you got to do extra stuff about, but if you took DeGrom, you had to put focus in areas to cover yourself, and hopefully you did that.
Makes him a tough investment, and that makes that's Kyle Schwarber. That's why Kyle Schwarber didn't win that poll that we had for him and Josh Lowe, and now Kyle Schwarber is going nuts.
Schwarber June is on.
Schwarber June is absolutely on right now is because he's a conditional player. And so any time a player is a conditional player, it makes them more difficult to draft. Obviously, DeGrom didn't work out. We can put this to dead, bury him in a shallow grave, and be done with it for the rest of the year. But, you know, It sucks. We understand it sucks, but hopefully if you were investing, you know, made it a plan and invested heavy in the pitching in case something like this happened.
I'm going to not talk about pitchers. Like, I'm like, oh, Jeffrey Springs and Jacob DeGrom. I love those two. Yeah, Tommy John. Like, you're done.
I'm so glad you don't like any Diamondbacks. It makes me
Corbin
happy.
Carroll. Carroll's the only one. Knock on wood.
Stop it. Yeah.
I know. It's just been one of those years. But how about Ellie freaking De La Cruz? A debut. Walk in his first at bat. Hits a 112 mile per hour double. Has another batted
in
ball.
The red season. The highest exit velocity for the whole red season. In the span of whatever, two plate appearances.
Another 108. Tony Gonsolin was like, no other hitter on that team was getting the treatment. Ellie De La Cruz in his first at bat got the treatment, which is crazy. And, you know, it's such a cool thing. I don't know if you listen to anything I've done, you've heard all of my comps of like whatever. I'm just super encouraged. Because there were big swing and miss like O'Neill Cruz. Everybody remembers how critical I was of O'Neill Cruz in his rookie year and then bought back in. It was because it was huge, massive swing and miss issues that really didn't have signs of improvement. Ellie has. Ellie cut it like crazy in May, then to 26% where he was. His chase rate lowered into kind of more of a, still a little bit high, but like average, double digit walk rate with the hardest hit balls. And he flies around bases that are closer. All of those things were huge improvements to be like, I'm in. And guess what? Third base, hitting fourth. I'm all about Ellie De La Cruz. He's the number one prospect on my updated prospect list. And this is the guy. And we're going to talk about it here. But, you know, like I do believe if I want to be rational and people want some rationality, he has the potential to have some swings and struggles because he can strike out. And I was telling people, he had a 5 strikeout game in the minors in AAA like a week ago. So don't think that he can't go hit a buck 80. That can happen. You know, everyone's Jordan Walker. He could become Jordan Walker, but he has the skill sets that can mask some of the problems like Bobby Witt's doing. You know, he's hitting 220 or 30 or Julio Rodriguez. But they're still putting up double-digit homers and stolen bases. That's the type of guy I think Ellie is. As long as the pitch recognition is good, I'm just going to buy, and I'm excited about it.
I give you a blind play of a different shortstop? I'm going to give you his numbers.
Okay.
And then without his name, you'll be able to tell who it is. But I want you to tell me whether you would take this guy with these numbers so far through the year or Ellie De La Cruz for the rest of the year. It's another shortstop, and this guy's numbers are 11 homers, 4 swipes, 34 runs, 42 RBI, but only hitting 214.
Give me the numbers again.
It was 11 homers, 4 swipes, 42 RBI, 34.
Is this a shortstop?
This is a shortstop, a premier shortstop.
Is that the 11 homers are throwing me off here? And 214
NL East.
I was about to say, is that Willy Adames? But that's not Lindor, is it?
That is Lindor.
Yeah, see, okay. You know what's so funny? I was about to interrupt you before you said anything and say Francisco Lindor, because I feel like he's one of those lines. The batting average screwed me up. Yeah, I mean, I think
it's still Lindor.
I actually think you could do it. You could make that move. And
he's in that range. Move, that's the thing. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like Ellie comes in and slides right into that group, right?
Yes. Yes. That's the key. He's in that group. That's how important he is.
That's Lindor, Bogarts, Franco, and Nico Horner's been good. Bobby,
you know what? I'll take Ellie over Bogarts rest of the season.
Okay. Yeah. I think so too with the wrist injury.
And that's understanding the batting average potential risk that is on with Ellie. Because I do think, even though I'm kind of being like, ooh, you know, and it might be annoying to people, I understand the inherent risk, but I mean, I'm saying this coming off of talking about the Jacob DeGrom stuff, like I will play the high upsides, though. This is a weird conversation. Cause it's like, is he available? What does a trade look like right now? I don't know if there was fab or something or waivers. Yes. He's the number one waiver claim. Yes. He's all your fab. Rob Silver said it, I think, the best. He said, he actually projected Ellie like Francisco Lindor. And he said, if Francisco Lindor hit your waiver wire right now, how much of your fab would you spend?
Right.
You do all of it. And that's how you would treat Ellie. Outside of that, everything else has just got to be in comfortable range for you guys to know, like, this is a great bet if you already own him. But the answer is yes to whatever it is. And hopefully it works out. That's the bet. That's the analysis. Scott White is with me as far as him being a top 8, 10 shortstop rest of season. A lot of people are there with it, and we hope it works out. But he definitely has a potential to be, you know, the upside of what we saw with O'Neill Cruz. He could be the next Fernando Tatis Jr., but he also could be the next Javier Baez. I'll make the bet on the positive. My dynasty ranks are reflective as well as where he's gone. And, you know, hat tip to not just stats. That's the big thing. Like, it's really, really tough for me to, like, jump players in my prospect list, especially to go to number one. But it's not just about the stats and a hard hit metric. It's about him walking more and striking out less and making better decisions. And those are the keys to tapping into all that talent. And that's why
the bigs now.
It's pretty badass, man. And there was just a vibe yesterday about him coming up, a buzz that I don't remember. And I think
I was so excited to see them beat the Dodgers. Oh, it was great. Put the D-backs in first by themselves.
Oh, that is a good feeling.
I totally ruined the game for Jesse too. I text him that. After, well, whatever.
You do like, that.
Okay, you know what?
I'll
never text you about sports again. Don't worry about it.
No, it's all
we just
I want.
Won't text about sports. It's fine. You know,
no,
you ruin it. You do that.
But you forget. You were literally in the hub of connection before anybody can see anything.
And well, I did it because he had the game paused in like the 7th. I waited 15 minutes.
Oh, he did? Why was he doing that?
Well, I don't know. I saved him having to watch the end of it is how I figured it.
You're a good friend. You're a much better friend for doing that for him. Can you imagine? That's actually like the Diamondbacks with the Eddie Rosario one the other day. I had a friend that was at that game and someone asked her like, oh, did you stay for the game? And he dropped his head and he's like, yeah, I was at. Like, what a nightmare to be there. And then Eddie Rosario, like, you know, just in the game for it or anything like that. But all right. Well, what were you saying?
I was just saying that it ruined the game for Jesse. And I felt bad.
Poor Jesse.
He's fine. But D-backs are in first place because the Reds walked him off. We love it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
Buckle up, Buckaroo.
All night.
Yeah, I don't remember where I was going with any of the rest of it, but it's exciting for Ellie, and it'll be exciting to watch, and I hope it all works out. And Christian Encarnacion Strand hopefully is going to come up soon, who's also hitting 110 mile an hour, and this team is just going to like keep winning games. The Reds are going to be weird. You know what Stanfill said last night? I did CBS, or two nights ago as you're listening. Frank said, hey, Reds are still 40-1 right now to win that division. And I was like, that might be a little sprinkle bet. Worst team is the Cardinals.
How many games back are they?
I don't know.
Five.
Five games? They're bringing in new offense?
Five games out of 500. But yeah, I mean, look, the Brewers are only five games up. So the Pirates are in second right now. The Cardinals are in last by
40-1. Throw 10 bucks.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad.
Money?
Yeah.
I'll do that. You sure about that? You
got Andrew Abbott up there. You sure about that?
Yeah, I've been doing that everywhere in every show. I did it today with Joe when he was going on his tirade about DeGrom. I was like, you sure about that? I'm so stupid. It's my favorite thing on the planet. I can't stop doing it. Also, the Alek Manoah stuff was crazy. This is just kind of repeating stuff I've said other places, but he's going to Complex because they're going to retool some stuff. Don't know what it is.
Yeah.
His pitch mix is all weird and off right now, dude. Everything is in the zone. The fastball and slider getting demolished. The sinker should be getting hit more. He doesn't have his spots anymore. So I don't know if they're going to change the mix, if they're going to work on faster pace of pitching. I don't know what the hell it is, but that is why he's going to Complex, is not to get innings, but to rework some stuff. But he's a cut. I think you can release him in redraft.
Yeah, I think so too. And this is, you know, I was watching his last start before this one, and they talked to John Schneider, and they kept asking, like, do you think it's a pitch clock? No. Do you think it's mechanics? No. You know, he was just basically throwing Manoah under the bus and saying, hey, look, we've worked on it. I think it's because he's a fat loser. That's exactly what Schneider said. No, he said, we've worked on all this stuff, so it's up to him. The ball's in his court, kind of, you know, putting it on him to do something, and he got rocked against the Astros. Corey Jolks' first Grand Slam ever.
It's got to be too, because he's competitive and he's a smart baseball player, and I think he really he pays attention to analytics and stuff. It's got to be really frustrating for him to know.
Yeah,
I think he's definitely. He sure is. And that's why it's a reset button. You know, there's going to be no fans. It's going to be Complex. You walk around. It's so funny. I was at Complex on Tuesday night and walk next to me is Daniel Hudson. Daniel Hudson just drove his car, parked in the Mariners parking lot, walks up.
It's like going to a little league game. Yeah,
it is. And he goes and he pitches one inning and he leaves in the third talking to some guys. And it's just you forget the path of major leaguers. Sometimes we have this view of them and it's Daniel Hudson's rehabbing. No one barely knows him. He's just walking around a backfield and he's just doing his thing. And it's that's what Manoah's going to do. He's going to go work out, talk with trainers, get hyper-focused, and hopefully they change something. But I'm not here to be around.
Hopefully
for
doesn't
to figure
hit
it out.
That good Florida food in the summer. You know, that could be dangerous.
Do they have, what is their good food there?
There's a lot in Florida. There's a lot of good Cuban food.
Have you been to Florida?
Yeah,
I've been to Florida. God, you're so much more traveled than me. It's so annoying. I've been nowhere.
I mean, you don't leave. You go to the training complex. That's your travel.
That's right. I'm I've been to the Mariners and I've actually been to their state, but I've been to their complex level. I don't go anywhere. I always forget you've just been places.
I haven't been very far north. I went to Minnesota once,
how many states have you been to?
Most, I don't know, 15 or 20. It's not a bunch. It's not
I've been to five.
Less than half. So
California, Utah, Vegas, Texas, Oklahoma.
Vegas isn't a state, but Nevada is.
New Mexico. I've been to seven. I've been to seven places.
I've been to everything on the southern border plus Oklahoma.
I've been
Arkansas,
everywhere, man.
Missouri, Kansas, Minnesota. A bunch of places. So Vegas. I went to the state of Vegas one time. So it was a lot of fun.
So, the city of the strip. Yeah.
The city of Mandalay Bay. So, this is always which I did give my money to Mandalay Bay before I found out they were owned by the Dodgers. So,
are they really?
Yeah. Well, they were. I don't think it's the same ownership group now, but yes, they were. When I
tear down that building, that Dodgers.
The air conditioning didn't work, and I was not surprised. So,
oh, you're like, oh, this is LA. Of course it doesn't work.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. Dodgers owners. I walked in here with a D-backs hat. They hate me. So,
Other things for people to dance on, Byron Buxton is out with a rib contusion.
I love that Byron Buxton going on the IL is secondary for you. No one's even talking to you about this because DeGrom went on the IL the same day. You're not even getting, you may be getting over grief for DeGrom, but you're definitely getting under grief for Buxton right here. Yeah. So it's all evening out.
Buxton,
happening on the same
much
day.
Better deal. Buxton was a much better deal than the rest. Hopefully this isn't going to be something.
You sure about
that? He was. I got him post 100. I only got him in a couple spots. I told people it's fine about the DeGrom stuff. To be fair, DeGrom's price did go above where I could pay, and I don't have him anywhere except one keeper league. I did get a few shares of Buxton because he was so far back. He really did fall back. But he's going to be out for a little bit, rib contusion. Also, Aaron Judge going on the IL with a sprain and bruise on his toe.
I think this is all still stemming from him crashing through the wall at Dodger Stadium. So
walls have been a nemesis to my toes. So I can understand that. But
big goofy guys hurt themselves on walls. It happens. So Aaron Judge, big goofball, hurt himself on a fence, which now the Dodgers are apparently going to have to do some work on. They've talked about it already. It's one of the biggest stars in the game gets hurt on it. So
do you think if we did a study, it would be a higher propensity of people 6'3" and above hurt their toes than guys under 5'8"?
I don't know. Probably, I would guess,
I feel like that would be. Yeah.
I mean, you have longer stride. You're more likely to hit stuff.
Bigger feet, bigger toe. I mean, I wear size 14.
The size of your foot, I'm sure helps. In terms of hurting it, but I honestly think the biggest thing would be the stride. Your stride is so much longer than a short guy's. You're more likely to hit stuff. I think that's just basic what it boils down to.
Spencer Stride, 100%. You put this on here probably just to troll me, but Luis Arraez hitting .401 as of Tuesday.
I mean, it's fun. We're talking about Luis Arraez, and it's fun. It's in June, and the dude is hitting over .400. It's awesome. Very impressive.
I would love him to have him on my real life team.
I would also love to have him on the D-backs, but you know, on my fantasy team, he's still a one category guy that we still were good. Talking about before. Great in that category. But I mean, if a guy hits, you know, 50 home runs, he's getting runs and RBIs. You're not getting all of that. You should get runs. You should get some RBIs.
I was making the case that like in May, Josh Naylor hit like 6 or 7 homers, had a couple stolen bases, hit like 260, whatever run in RBI. And I was like,
steal bases.
I was like, that's more, I think that's, oh, let me pull it up. I thought like, that's more valuable than Luis Arraez. Cause I asked Frank that and he immediately was like, well, no, I'd take Arraez. And I'm like, why? I mean, like, the batting average is not counting points leagues, because points leagues, this doesn't count for. So don't get up in arms with me about that type of stuff. But here are the May numbers for, because Luis Arraez, I don't know what the May numbers are, but I'll take a swing and guess. 390 with one homer, no stolen bases, 15 to 20 runs, and like 6 RBI or something like that. But here is the May that Naylor just put up. 5 homers, 2 stolen bases, 25 runs. 25 RBIs, 11 runs, hitting 293. That is more valuable than whatever the hell Luis Arraez did. So I know that's like, you know, 1 month and blah, blah, blah. But my whole point has been like,
it was 438, cool. One homer, 12 runs, 11 RBI, and one stolen base. Like, okay, it's the one homer and the one stolen base.
He has one category. No, he had one category over Josh Naylor there, and that was batting average by a lot, by the way. But Josh Naylor is more valuable to a fantasy team than Luis Arraez was in roto category. Yeah. It's just not really debatable.
Luis Arraez is exactly what Jacob deGrom was going into this year, a conditional player. You know, it's the same. You have to have a condition to take this player, but it makes them frustrating to roster because you have to have extra power. You have to have, you know, Kyle Schwarber, who just evens out Luis Arraez. So it's like, what is the point of taking both those guys and pairing them? You're not getting, you know, your bonus here. So I don't know. He's fine, but he's not a very good fantasy player.
And it's one of those things. It's just like I get my craw, like I get stuck where people are like, oh, God, Luis Arraez. And it's like, yeah, he's cool. He's totally cool. Don't make it like, I don't want it to make like it's not cool. But he's also, just because he's hitting 400 doesn't mean he's, I don't know, Francisco Lindor, who's hitting 214, or Luis Arraez. You would want Lindor. You want any player that gets homers and stolen bases, and that it's just
the bottom line
guy.
Is the
he's
five
weird.
Categories like all the underlying stuff is great and amazing and blah blah blah, but the bottom line is still the bottom line that has not changed since fantasy started.
What's funny is like points league screw up the process of roto and head to head, and also the algorithms. I haven't looked at it less. I've never looked at it this year, and I used to always. But you go and look at like whatever the algorithm a place like Yahoo gives to a player, their score, their rank. And they weight them on categories.
You want to guess Luis Arraez?
His rank on Yahoo?
Yes.
I'll bet it's so stupid, all based on batting average. I will bet you, and I bet I'm wrong, I'll bet you it's 115. Might even be top 100.
Yeah, he's 75 because he's hitting 401. But he has one homer and one stolen base. He has 24 runs and 30 RBI. Just to compare that, Josh Naylor is... double 150, seeing 260 on the year with 8 homers and 4 stolen bases, 42 RBI and 19 runs only. So, but I mean, we're talking like, you know, preseason Naylor was 188 and Luis Arraez was 133. So, you know, he's a little bit better than Naylor. Naylor's a little bit worse, or he's a little bit better than they expected. Naylor's a little bit worse than they expected. They're going close to the same thing. I mean,
he's elite in that average category. What were his RBI? What are Arraez's RBI and run total?
I think he was 42 and.
No, Arraez.
Yeah, it's 30 and 24. 30 RBI, 24 runs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Look at that beautiful face right there. It's one of the prettiest, one of the best voices, one of the high energy guys. We are going to be bringing up the energy here, as is always done. When John Legaiza joins the podcast, it's a wild ride here. John Legaiza is now the Twitter handle, not MLB moving average. That happened a little bit ago, but I get excited about that. Catch him over there at The Athletic and all of his just sick stuff you've been putting out on the gambling side. John, what's up, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
Thanks. Yeah, coming off witness protection is always pretty exciting. You know, it felt good.
You look like that. You got like a black shirt on. You get the black hair back there. You got a little witness protection on there.
That was always funny. That was always my favorite answer. Is people used to ask me, like, you know, for kind of a crazy dude with a spotted past, you know, you don't have any tattoos. I'd say, yeah.
None that you can see.
The reason why the baddest guys never have tattoos.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's why. Yeah. I got just a couple. So.
Giant like, tramp stamps. So.
Yeah. Whoa! I got that. Afterwards.
We know what it is, John.
I've got that afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Just a big old F5 right above your butt crack. You just like first five in the front, right on your belly button, little TTR,
right
little
team total right runs. In the run line, baby.
Exactly. We're gonna get to talk about a little bit of MLB betting. It's not gonna be the whole thing, so if everyone freaks out if you don't bet, but. We get to talk a little bit of betting because John has definitely been at the forefront of that. John's been a huge help to me in, I don't know, just like streamlining and figuring out my focus. That's been one of the biggest things. I don't mean to talk about gambling right off the top here, but like, you know, one of my big focuses, and I've been pushing a lot of people to say, like, baseball gambling is overwhelming. But if you can find the areas to bet, and it doesn't mean just like money line, it's good. And everyone's like, oh, there's just so much. I don't know what to do. You just find the couple places where there might be advantages or you can do your good research. That is how you attack it. And baseball has so much potential to be a more household betting type of thing. And it took me a little bit to kind of just find my rhythm of what I wanted to research and how I wanted to research. And John has been a great help over the last probably 18 months. We've kind of chatted and done shows and it's really helped in the improvement this year. And everything you've been doing has kind of led to that. So what have you been doing? Let everybody know, you know, where they can get all your cool stuff. We'll just talk about it right at the front.
Yeah. If you want to see my stuff, and again, it's open right now. So the free trial, which is still going on again, I paywalled it and I got such a great response. I just kind of ended up leaving it open. So you follow me on Twitter at John McGaze, the pin tweet has a link right to it. It's a Google Doc. And I really put up just this is something we were talking about off air, even with all my experience, you know, anybody can lose. And I feel, not say guilty and responsible, but you always want to win. But I want to make sure more than anything I brought value. So not only did I make it really cheap, but I also brought enough data and stuff that even if it doesn't win, I know there are people that use my work to build off it. Because again, you know, having the experience, I kind of know where to go. And the point you made, well, she's a very good one. If you try and cover every market every day for every game, guess what? You're going to end up scrambled and you're not going to be good at anything. So you kind of got to find the part of the game you're interested in. Are you more interested in pitching or hitting? Right now, you can really do well at strikeout or walk props. And then, again, usually you're going to be going against the grain, meaning most people bet over on strikeout props. But those are really juiced up. And again, it's always harder to go over than other. I like to
especially right now, by the way. The first month of the season, there was tons of value. There was a lot of value in strikeout props. It is so...
Yep. Hitters
tight.
Catch up.
The margins are so tight right now to find a good one. I've actually kind of gone off it, and you're right, finding the under market. That's actually something I've done a big focus, and people love it because of my dumb names I have for it on Fantasy Pros. But we do the price pick stuff. Almost half of my price picks I do are underplays. I call it, I have one, the hater sandwich, which is two unders sandwiched between something I like, or I'll have the haters ball, which is all unders, and I'll play the under market a whole bunch. There definitely is value in that.
You get much better odds on them. And guess what? All of your favorite contact pitchers, like I just hit Bieber last night. There was no chance he was striking out five Red Sox last night. And unlike the over, which again is like minus 170, minus 180, the unders come in at like plus 115. So again, if you bet regimented and you're betting the same amount on all these things, you need less than 50% hit rate, and me being Mr. Low Expectations, like that's how you make money in this stuff, is to have a plan, be as specialized as possible, bet as little as you can afford to, right, and then be consistent and let it happen. You know, I don't know, man. I'm always going to be on the plus odds. This is something we've spoke about during that time. I'm always going to be on the plus odd sides of things, and I'm generally going to be going against the market. Like I bet on the I must have bet on the Nationals first five team total, like. 35 times already. Yeah, and well, keep hitting. We hit Oakland just today. Oakland scored about 7 runs in the first inning. People refuse to believe that bad teams score. So right now, because we're in an offensive environment, that's where I've been going is when Pittsburgh or Oakland or Detroit or Washington are hitting, you go for those team totals because they're really low.
You know what? And let's just get into the gambling stuff. Let's actually, we'll start on the gambling and we'll move into a few of the fantasy things here, because one of the things that John really helped me like focus on that I have implemented into this year is not just first five betting. And the logic behind first five betting for everybody is it's heavily focused on the starting pitcher, because there's so many bullpens that are going to blow games and stuff like that. There's a lot more juice on stuff. First fives have actually gotten even more difficult, but first fives is the bet on the starting pitcher, positive or negative. The other one though, that kind of changed, and I went on a crazy run. I've kind of honed down my insanity in betting over the last 2 weeks, just due to normal workload. I'm not a 100% gambler. Oh, it's team total runs. Team total runs. I was telling Bogman, I had a run of like 2 or 3 weeks where I was like 8 and 11 on team total runs. I was just, you find your thing, you focus, but that was my focus, was team total runs and first fives. I moved away from a lot of the prop betting. The only things I did like to do was I like to find little hit parlays, find guys I like to get single hits, put two together, sprinkle a little bit of money on it. I've done pretty well. I actually did a strikeout parlay on Fantasy Pros, which I hit yesterday, Giolito and Hunter Brown. That one smacked, and that was a plus 150. Those are fun to do, but team total runs and first fives have been kind of my play this year. So what I'm curious about is what has been the best attack on MLB betting for you? First fives, team total runs. I know those are kind of your thing. Are those still your big plays? Has there been anything else that has been your big focus as far as what you've been betting or what you've been suggesting?
Okay, Brett. So where, again, man, I'm always somewhat malleable. You know, it's weird. When you're betting, you need to be kind of, this is going to sound weird, right? Some Bruce Lee stuff. You have to be like the bamboo reed. This is really, I'm telling you, this is going to be out there. You got to be like the bamboo reed. You got to be sturdy enough to sway in the wind without breaking. It's true. You know, right? Too loose, you fall over. Too stiff and you break. So you need to have a process that you follow. But I was talking about this literally just today on my show. You can watch my show. It's Call to the Pen on the Hammer HQ on YouTube for Rob Pizzola every day. We do it 40 minutes every day. It's crazy.
I was about to say Monday through Friday, right?
Yeah, it's Monday through Friday. It's a circus. And the Friday show is a guest show. And it's really cool. This Friday, I have Pitching Ninja. I got Rob Friedman in the chair. He's really sharp with – he's moved into pitching prop stuff also. You know, he's kind of prominent. And then it's taking off. So I've just been hitting on a lot of the sharper people. Welsh, we're going to get you in also. But I lost my train of thought when we were talking about the better
Bruce Lee.
Right. The bamboo reed, right? So stay with the trends, though, being the most important thing. So as much as I love my first five betting, and in particular, first five totals, we're in a scoring environment. So when it comes to totals, I've been going with a full game where I can lately because I want those bullpens, and I also want to be exposed to the ghost runner. Like, and it dawned on me when I had like a – I shouldn't have – done it. This was early in the year before I made the change. Where I'm going is full game over, first five under. Right? If you like the under, because you're betting on the pitchers, like you said, Walshy, you play the first five under and you get out. You do not want the bullpen. You do not want the wonkiness between roles, rotation, skills, health, weirdness. They're such a nightmare. It becomes 2.5 hours of like up and down. I don't want that. If you want to gamble, I know it's all gambling, but like that's a different kind of gambling. You know what I mean? I want to bet and get out. I want to win or lose and move it on. But I found that that's really kind of worked. And it works, again, within the trend. Again, try and be objective, right? You're never going to figure it out. It's like F5 always wins and full game always loses. It's never going to be the case, right? You'll bet an F5 and it'll flip on you or vice versa. Unfortunately, these things happen. But if you have a process, that will keep you from getting whipsawed all the time. And I found, again, Welsh, what we talked about the last time a lot was, you know, some people don't want to hear it, but there's a real emotional part of it. You know, especially your money, of course,
there's an emotional part of it.
You know, again, why brag? I'm never going to get hired by a real casino because I actually want people to win. Like, I actually want to win. And I've been advising people, and this is for a lot of newbies, this is probably the best advice I got, is you should not stop betting. The betting is the action, the skill you want to get good at. What you need to stop doing is losing your money. You can bet without playing with money. That's what people go. They go, what? And I mean, yeah, before you were allowed, like when I was first started to trade, before I was track allowed to go bets. Live. Yeah. Well, yeah, before I was allowed to go live, we had to pass a combine. You know, we had to pay, you had to pass a 90-day combine. So you have to show that you can make money on paper with 90 days. And once you show that, you take off your diaper and you go get the wallet. And you go play like a big boy. You'd be surprised how many people right out of the box lose. You lose a combine 7 times. No wonder you're losing your mind. You lost 7 payouts already. You're depositing. You've never experienced winning. And now you're nervous and kind of jerking around. So I never advise people to stop betting. How are you going to get better at it? You need to keep betting. You need to stop losing your money. So, like, if you're struggling, taking 30 days off, yo. Bet it on paper, track it, and if you're profitable, you get back in the ring.
We also have that on Fantasy Pros.
You save yourself some money, you know what I'm saying? That's the truth. That's the truth.
On Betting Pros, we have a Betting Pros group for leading off that you can just pick your bets and it tracks everything for you. You don't have to actually put money to it. You can do the quick bets. And that's what we tell people. Come in, you can see your ROI. You can see your winning streak. It also tell you what areas you're best at betting. So that's a good one. I like that on top of those bets.
I want to know, John, what types of bets do you avoid wholly and completely that maybe new people that are just jumping in to gambling like to do? You know, like there's one that Welsh and I get annoyed with on Underdog and other places. It's the single one. We will never take the single one. Give me those total bases.
They bet you look like bases. You're wondering what that is. It's they'll say.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean.
So the Underdog, obviously it's a little bit different, but singles are like the only thing they'll put up for a player is that this guy will hit a single for the day. So this
it's
is
over
in more
under
the,
half a single is what it
wait,
is.
Wait, is it any base hit or it's just a single?
No,
it's just a single. It has now, to be a single. So if they hit a double or a triple.
Like, no,
I'm just pointing out one that I see that I go,
oh, that's silly.
Okay, I'm
no,
not
that's
doing
ridiculous.
That one. But that's just part of props.
I
it's
thought
not
you were
like,
going to say half a base, in which case, Chris kind of mentioned where I would go because half bases are always so juiced up. Minus 220, minus 250, I generally don't pay those. If I get a model ring on over 1.5 total bases, that player should ring for a base hit. And if you get a good contact hitter in the front third of the lineup, now remember, people, these are part of the process, right? Front third of the lineup should get you an extra plate appearance. Being on the road is very important because you don't want to get assed out of that ninth frame. I'm telling you, you want to ensure that ninth frame. If you're going to put your money on a base prop, unless you were implied for at least like 5 runs, you want to be on the road. Now, granted, if you're a heavy favorite, different story because you're looking to get that.
I learned that lesson last night. I took Trey Turner, you know.
At home, yeah. But, and sometimes they end up on deck circle, of course, right? It always feels that way. And it's a killer. But if I can pair 2 and get above even money, again, that's the price is always it. I will go that route. I like the total base props also over 1.5, but it can be very frustrating. I like to stick to ones that are plus money. I also like to stick to all those other kind of regimented things I mentioned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
But what are the ones you just won't touch?
Yeah,
your feet, that what garbage. I don't touch that stuff at all.
No run first
good,
inning.
Here's a good tip, everyone. Okay? The bets that I recommend, you have to click through 11 different links on DK. They literally hide them. They quite literally move them around. I have this documented on my Twitter handle. If you were to search my name and F5 Betting Wars, right? That's unique enough. No one else has ever typed that before. The whole thing, it's a threat of me tracking. Again, if they didn't change what they were doing, I would be up on the hill somewhere living with, you know, Ivory Palace somewhere. Because I was mopping the floor with them. They had to do something. It's the truth. They started putting them later. They started not posting them. Some books now have F5s are plus 1.5. Have you seen that, Welsh? Plus 1.5. You don't even get plus half a run. They want plus 1.5 and it's juiced to the balls in both directions. You can't look to cover 1.5 runs for 5 innings. That's in pure insanity. You know what I mean? Like, who is doing that? So now also DK will not allow you to pair the first 5 with the total. Meaning you can't go – Yankees plus over 5. That's never been disallowed. That's not a same game parlay. Now you have to go to the SGP shop where they put their thumb on the freaking scale, right? Make sure that they get their pound of flesh on you. So that's
no way. Casinos are working in their own interest, John.
Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. That's pathway A, Big Johnny. Okay. The other path is the books commercials themselves. Bet, yes, run first inning. Everybody jump right on the Murphy line. Look, there's a nymph over here. And it says then the last 14 and one. Oh, my goodness, because that matters. Who are these people? Who are these people? Okay, again, I will never get hired by a real book because I have a better chance of getting hired to make the lines for the casino than I do to be a carnival barker for them because they're like, oh, my God, this guy's going to help people win. We can't. I mean, I have a better chance of getting killed by the Vegas books than I do of getting hired by them. No shit. I'm dead serious. This stuff is it's so true. Think about it. They advertise no run first inning. They advertise this stuff. Anything the book advertises, don't play. Did you see that? Somebody was tracking that or when they have the house parlays, right? The homepage. If there's a parlay on the homepage, don't play that.
Don't ever do it.
Some poor schmuck was just tracking the show, possible danger. And I think they went like over the first like 34 or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I learned last year, is anything that's promoted by the book is something to not take. And it doesn't matter, even if they have like cool people like